Available now from Graphic Audio.
Concentrate. Concentrate. And visualize a storm.
Graphic Audio presents...
What? What is this storm?
DC Comics.
This is a code A emergency. Do you copy?
Justice League of America. Superman. The never-ending battle.
There is power that not even they can overcome.
Where is he?
I have my own reserves, fool!
Hello, Superman. If you can still hear this, you are in the final moments of your life.
Copyright 2008 DC Comics. Justice League of America, Superman, and all related names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics 2008. All rights reserved.
And now, for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 12, The Soul Stealer. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, James Konacek, Christopher Grayville, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, Michael Glenn, Scott McCormick, Dylan Lynch, Andy Clements, MB Van Dorn, and Kate Torrey.
Anya Creed was being followed. Again. Her mouth creased into an almost nonchalant grin as she felt the familiar feeling wash over her. As many times and as many places as she'd been, she could tell, without even turning around to confirm it, that someone was taking more than a passing interest in her. Even in this remote industrial complex, where the concrete was as gray as the cold sky overhead, she hadn't managed to escape the eyes and ears of the locals. The question, as always, was who was following her. Since arriving in Moscow and then taking the Trans-Siberian Railroad to the northeast reaches of the former Soviet Union, Anya had kept what she thought was a low profile. She'd paid cash for her transactions, she'd used her new fake passport and booked her travels under a fake name. She'd even tossed her schedule out the window and lingered in several stops for far too long. But it hadn't worked. She ran down the list of people in her head who might wish her harm and then frowned. The list was long and growing longer. Every new adventure seemed to add dozens of names to the roster of people who thought the world would be a better place if perhaps Anya Creed wasn't inhaling any more of its oxygen. She passed the plate glass windows of a department store advertising fashions so outdated that Anya wondered if anyone actually came in and requested them. She paused, however, and used the reflecting surface to look behind her. Nothing. She kept moving rather than give away the idea that she suspected she was being followed. No sense alerting the hunters. Anya knew that professionals never allowed themselves to be seen when they followed you. So the fact that she hadn't spotted anyone in the shop window might mean she wasn't dealing with amateurs. On one level, that was good. Amateurs in this part of the world tended to be thugs and rapists who would brutalize you and then sell you off into some sexual slavery den. At least the professionals just killed you and got it over with. She smirked at the thought. How her life had changed. Turning a corner, Anya moved onto a narrower street. Ahead of her, she could make out an outdoor market area filled with a smattering of produce, imported electronic goods, and bootleg DVDs. Anya knew the Mafia controlled these impromptu bazaars, but she hoped she could use them to lose her tail. Unless, of course, he worked for the very same gangsters who ran the marketplace. She pondered that for a moment. But she couldn't worry about that for long. Not when she had a pressing appointment to keep with Robert Gulliver, known to his friends as Biker Bob, and to the rest of the world as the cycling archaeologist. Gulliver liked riding across the world on his favorite all-terrain bike. It was how he had scouted so many famous dig sites. Before he went into any place with loads of equipment, he would casually assess the environment from the comfort of his bicycle. So far, Gulliver had crisscrossed the globe numerous times, although this was his first outing in Siberia. Gulliver had sent Anya an email from a cyber cafe in a town just outside Minsk, asking if she would join him on a scouting mission. Anya, bored with her self-imposed exile back in Brooklyn, had jumped at the opportunity. But even she was somewhat disgruntled by the location. So far, the dour city of Magadan had failed to impress her. The entire city was formed of cookie-cutter buildings set into neat rows. The streets were all evenly paved with ancient cars, zooming down them at breakneck speeds, unconcerned if they hit pedestrians. In contrast, she occasionally spotted a sleek new Lincoln Town Car that proclaimed its driver as belonging to organized crime. Poverty was rampant, and Anya had already doled out some of her money to several children who looked closer to being scarecrows than human beings. Gulliver had promised her a spectacular adventure, but Anya couldn't imagine finding one in a place like Magadan. Not in a city so utterly drab and awash in human misery. Still, the fact that she had someone following her at least meant that there might be a little excitement before the day was done. She ducked under the low awning and entered the marketplace. Ahead of her, the narrow corridor seemed to twist and turn. Elderly shoppers, their heads wrapped in heavy hats and scarves to ward off the first taste of winter in the air, pushed past her, intent on finding something valuable in the midst of chaos. Her unpredictable turn had prompted a man 30 feet back to stop awkwardly and turn his head. Anya smiled. First mistake. Maybe she wasn't dealing with professionals after all. She had a decision to make. She could allow her tail to continue his surveillance, or she could turn the tables on him and find out who he was. The first choice was annoying because it meant she'd never be alone. The second choice was the more dangerous of the two. Confronting a tail was always a risk. He might be following her because he wanted to harm her. Anya ducked under a low-hanging portal filled with cheap polyester tapestries done up in gaudy golds and bright reds. She closed her eyes for the briefest of moments, confirming that Joan of Arc's sword, her sword, was accessible. She could see it in her mind's eye, hovering as it always seemed to. All she had to do was reach out and grab it. She risked a glance back and saw the man clearly. He had no interest in any of the wares being hawked by the vendors. His face was as dour as the rest of the city, but Anya could see the deep lines etched in his face and knew that he had a past, probably that of a hired killer. She knew finding one in this part of the world was easy, and they were always competent. If they weren't, they simply didn't survive. Anya made her decision. Her pursuer bumped into one of the fish stalls, knocking the dead fish across the street. Losing him would obviously take some effort. Anya spotted an exit, a narrow alley ahead of her. Grateful that she'd worn her hiking boots instead of her sneakers, Anya raced down the asphalt street. Anya entered a trash-filled alley that doubled as a town of sorts for homeless people. The smell of urine hung heavy in the air. She could smell cheap vodka and the aroma of body odor. Makeshift corrugated cardboard box homes dotted the edges of the alley. She pressed on, dodging the clotheslines that hung between two buildings. Bits of spattered cloth, remnants of winter coats and shirts hung from the lines. Steam from several grates issued forth. Anya ducked low, aware that her vision was being compromised by the steam, which made the alley feel more like a moor drowning in early morning fog. Her pursuer would have moved into the alley by now, but he'd move slowly, aware that any one of the boxes might conceal his prey. He might walk right past her, or she might ambush him. Anya glanced ahead. Bricks. A dead end. She closed her eyes and reached for the sword. She opened her eyes. It hit her. The alley was too narrow to swing a sword. The air around her grew heavy. Anya could feel his presence now, looming and drawing down the distance between them. She ducked down by the closest cardboard box. The steam played tricks with her eyes. She thought she could see his body parting the mist like some ship on the sea, and then she saw his feet. Anya launched herself at him, knocking him to the ground. He brought his hands up and twisted, trying to push her off him. She could see his left hand reaching for something in his coat. Anya chopped down with her fist onto his forearm. Anya slipped off him and scrambled to her feet, her hands held up high. As he came up, Anya lashed out with a roundhouse kick aimed at his temple. He ducked under it and punched up into the underside of her thigh. Anya jerked back, surprised that he seemed so nimble after being knocked to the ground. Again, he reached inside his coat. Anya ducked her head and flew at him, tackling him around the waist. The man was better prepared this time. His hands flew to her neck. Anya could feel the sharp twinges as he dug his fingertips into the area under her ear. She slid away and got back to her feet.
Stop!
Anya braced herself. The man got to his feet and held his hands up as if he was surrendering.
I mean you no harm.
Oh, really?
Do you mind if I reach in my pocket? I will prove that I am no threat to you.
Go slow. If I think you're pulling a gun...
Oh, no gun. Just a note.
Anya watched as he fished a slip of paper out of his pocket, unfolded it, and gingerly handed it to her. She took it and glanced down quickly at the words written on it.
Anya, welcome to Magadan. Please follow Gregor. He will bring you to me. Regards, Bob. Gregor?
Da.
Nice to meet you.
Gregor and Anya navigated the twisting streets and the throngs of people who bustled here and there. The afternoon was turning into early evening, and commuters rushed from factories and offices to head home. The man turned towards Anya with a smile.
Robert told me you might not be an easy woman to track down. He did not say anything about you not being easy to take down, however.
You got the two-for-one deal. Sorry if I hurt you.
You did not hurt me.
Of course.
You always react this way to people who are behind you?
Past experience has taught me it's better to go on the attack than wait for an ambush.
You must have some sort of peculiar background for that to be your normal method of behavior.
Nothing about my life has ever been normal. Now, where's Biker Bob?
He waits for us nearby. A libation establishment that he prefers to occupy during his awake time.
Never heard a bar called that before. This place gets busy in the evening, huh?
This city is not a wonderful place to be at night. Most people go home quickly to their families and dream of a time when they might leave.
That's pretty depressing.
Have you not noticed how sad this city is? How sad its inhabitants are as well?
It's kind of hard not to notice. What's the problem? The weather?
This is the gateway to hell.
That's a bit extreme. Even some of the grungiest places on Earth have something to look forward to.
Look at the buildings around you. It is not my name for this place, but rather the people who lived here who call it that. There was a time when this truly was the gateway to hell. Millions of people came here first, before journeying to the slave camps outside of the city to mine for gold under the Stalin regime. They say 3 million died at the mines of Kolyma.
This was where the mine workers first came?
The criminals, intellectuals, the poor. Under Stalin, it did not matter what you were. If you were perceived as a threat, then you were shipped here to mine for gold. They used the railway to herd workers here first before dropping them off the face of the planet and into the very depths of hell itself.
Amazing. Good thing we don't have Stalin to worry about any longer.
The scars of those times will take a very long while to heal. My grandparents died in the mines. It is, for me, a very painful topic. One that is very close to my heart.
Maybe they should have destroyed the city when the mines shut down.
The mines are not shut down. They are under private companies now. The goal is the same, to provide wealth for the Russian government and the investors of the mine.
But they don't use slave labor anymore, do they?
Depends on your definition of slave labor, I would suppose. Some would argue that the wages paid to the workers are not much better than what the original laborers received. Death on the wind is never washed away, no matter how many times God cries. I apologize. Sometimes I reminisce too much. You have a meeting to attend, and I am supposed to make sure you arrive there intact.
Intact?
Robert told me something about you. He said trouble seems attracted to you. It was his wish I guide you along so that trouble this time keeps its distance.
Damned thoughtful of him. Now, where's the bar?
Up ahead, just past this Mercedes dealership.
Nice cars. Doesn't look like too many people can afford them around here, though. Are there a lot of gangsters around?
Russia's run by gangsters now. Some of them wear suits, some wear army uniforms. All of them are dangerous men.
Lovely.
Gregor turned right onto a more narrow street. A small building stood just ahead, with a blinking neon sign in red Cyrillic letters. Gregor nodded towards it.
This is the place.
The heat and the smell of alcohol hit her at the same time. Smoke hung in the air, belched out by 100 cheap cigarettes, all bucking for room in the crowded joint. Gregor nudged Anya ahead.
Robert waits in the back.
Anya shouldered her way through the rough crowd. Some of them looked like greased pompadour playboys, while others had the look of hunted men and women, all trying to scratch out some type of existence in a place that seemed to reek of death and haunting memories. Anya spied a couple of Naugahyde booths in the back and headed for them.
Anya Cree!
Rising out of one of the booths like a tall, rail-thin weed, Robert Gulliver rushed to hug Anya. To Anya, it felt as if she were hugging herself, so lean was Biker Bob's body. Still, she knew that despite his lack of weight, he was lithe and sinewy, with a great deal of strength from all the cycling he did.
Oh, nice to see you, Bob.
Come sit down!
Anya followed Bob over to his booth, noticing that Gregor moved away and towards the bar, where anyone who wanted to get to the booth section would have to pass.
Gregor's not joining us?
Hmm? Oh, no. Gregor will keep an eye out so we aren't disturbed.
And he said you think I'm the one who attracts trouble.
We can get into that later, if you don't mind. I've got a glass all ready for you, m'lady. Can I pour you beer?
Sure.
Anya watched Bob's hands grip the pitcher and pour the beer into her glass. Blue veins in his hand snaked their way up his forearm, twisting around bands of thin muscle.
I see you still haven't porked up any.
It's genetics, I think. I was born this way and damned if I can eat enough to gain an ounce.
Well, that and all the biking.
Well, sure, but then again, if not for my bike, we never would have met.
Anya smiled. She and Gulliver had met on the set of Chasing History's Monsters a few years previously. Biker Bob had arrived on the set each day riding a candy apple red 1950s five-speed bike, complete with a playing card striking the spokes for the required sound effects. Over lunches and quick dinners, Anya had learned that he possessed an uncanny intelligence and sense for finding unique dig sites. While his methodology was unorthodox, his research and passion were undeniable. Anya had quickly realized Bob had the makings of a true friend.
So what's so special that you dragged me all the way over here, Bob? I mean, Siberia? That's a bit of a stretch even for you, isn't it?
You know how much history is locked into this part of the world? We're in the regions where the Mongol hordes got their start. And now, with the old Soviet Guard finally dismantled, we can actually begin to explore this area like never before.
And it will look ever so exciting as we tape bouncing along the roads on a bike, is that it?
You know, I never call for my video team until I have something to really show the world. This is more of an excursion. I've been fascinated with Siberia for years, and when I decided to bike across the northern part of the continent, I thought it would finally be a good time to see what could be seen.
And you called me.
Of course. Why not share this with the one person I know at least respects my work? I thought this would be a magnificent way to continue our friendship.
I suppose it is. It's just this part of Russia leaves a bit to be desired.
Definitely. But we aren't staying here anyway.
We're not?
No way. Our destination lies farther north. A road that winds its way through some very old places on the way to Yakutsk.
Never heard of it.
remote doesn't begin to describe it. I hear that even the Soviets seem inclined to stay away from the area.
I wonder why.
That's what you and I are gonna find out.
Anya glanced at Gregor, who was paying more attention to the wood of the bar and very little to the small drink he had in front of him.
Gregor's not very social.
He'll nurse that vodka for hours if we let him, but he's just doing his job.
Which is?
Well, one part was making sure you got here intact.
And why wouldn't I?
Don't take this the wrong way, but you're young and very attractive. And while I know that you're more than capable of handling yourself and any trouble that comes your way, the rest of this part of the world does not.
Sounds like you're protecting them from me.
Well, using Gregor to ward off any unwanted attention is a smart move. He knows the ins and outs of this region better than anyone else.
How so?
Born and raised here. He was an enforcer for one of the local syndicates, but he went freelance a few years back.
And they let him?
You might have gotten the impression that it's not wise to say no to him.
And you trust him?
I saved his life. There's nothing he won't do for me.
Now there's a story I want to hear.
Later. I suspect he might be embarrassed if he knew I was telling you. And embarrassing these guys is never a wise move.
What time are we leaving tomorrow?
6 in the morning.
That early?
Sure, I even got your bike.
It's not Candy Apple Red, is it?
No, but it does have racing stripes.
You wouldn't.
I'm kidding. Let's get going. I want to see if we can scare up one final good dinner before we head off into the great unknown.
By the time dawn had turned Magadan to more of a beige hue, Anya had already been up for 2 hours. She'd headed downstairs, wolfing down a cup of steaming black coffee and a sort of custard with a blackened crust on it. She stepped outside to find Biker Bob already waiting, gripping a thermos and looking to the northwest.
Good morning.
Hi, Bob.
Anya gazed suspiciously at the two bicycles Gulliver had arranged. He turned and bowed low, spreading his hand out as he did so with a flourish.
What in the world are those?
Those, m'lady, are our transportation.
Well, they look like two-wheeled moon buggies.
NASA should be so lucky as to have such fine chariots as these. Allow me to introduce you to the very noble and very rugged Yeti 575 Carbon Enduro, the 2006 model, in turquoise, because they don't have pink with polka dots.
And because you know I would have kicked the snot out of you if you'd shown up with a pink bike for me.
There's that, yes.
It's good, I assume, for what you have in mind for us?
One of the best. And fortunately for me, Gregor was able to get his hands on them for our travels. These bikes retail for about $3,000, and I only had to pay $5,000 for these.
You paid a $2,000 markup?
Cost of doing business in this part of the world, Anya. And besides, it's tax deductible once I get a dig going on the site we're heading for. $5,000, $10,000, it makes no difference.
Must be nice having all that cash.
I'm not ashamed of being a trust fund baby, Anya. At least I spend my money relatively wisely. I could be like those other idiots and charter 300-foot yachts in the Mediterranean for the better part of $1 million each week. End up on VH1 and all that ridiculousness.
Your quest is noble, Bob. I've never held your family's money against you.
That is precisely why you're along on this trip. Among other reasons. You want to try it out?
Sure. This isn't like the last time we went riding.
They've made a lot of improvements since then. Comfort and practicality are key, especially for bikes like this, which are made for all-day touring, mountain climbing, and traversing various obstacles.
So you're saying my ass won't feel like a pincushion by the time we end our ride each day?
I have no idea how your ass will feel. I can confidently assure you, however, that my own posterior has never felt the slightest bit injured after a full day's riding on these miraculous machines.
The seat has got a fair amount of give.
They call it travel now, the amount of movement the suspension gives the rider. On this model, it's almost 6 inches, which is a good amount of give.
You took the black one for yourself?
I always ride a black bicycle now. It's part of my marketing strategy for myself. The world has come to know me as always riding a black bicycle. What would they think if I showed up riding a red one?
Oh, heaven forbid. So where are we heading anyway?
Northwest of here, out into the Siberian wilderness.
As long as we're getting out of Magadan, that's fine with me.
I understand. Perhaps I should have chosen a better staging area.
This is the closest city?
Yes.
And there really was no other option. And don't worry too much about it. I've seen my share of horrible places.
Well, we should be off then.
Anya tested her feet on her pedals and found she could reach them easily enough. Gulliver had estimated her height correctly and ensured she had the right size bicycle. Then she looked up as another bike approached.
Gregor's coming with us?
A trusted comrade is always a welcome thing out in the backwaters of a potentially unfriendly environment.
Good morning.
How are you feeling today, Gregor?
My ribs have a nice blue to them. You have done very well in marking me up. But nothing that vodka and aspirin cannot handle.
Sorry about that.
I was not careful. Not your fault. You were just defending yourself, as I would have done in your spot.
Anya turned around and saw Gulliver tightening the straps on the dual bags that hung over the back of his bike. Anya saw that she had two bags already secured to her own.
You packed for me, too?
Gregor did some shopping. Just the necessities, I'm afraid. This won't be a glamorous event for any of us. Just a recon, as it were.
As long as the clothes are warm.
They are.
Thanks, Gregor.
My pleasure.
Are we ready?
Let's roll.
They pedaled for 3 miles on the paved highway leading out of Magadan. The road gradually turned from sleek asphalt to pockmarked concrete rife with potholes and bits of wire jutting out of the ground along its edges. More and more, they had to wind their way around obstacles.
Hold up, guys!
What's up, Bob?
The road ahead goes from this to more of a hard mud track. It should be easier once we hit it. Less obstructions.
They don't believe in road repair in these parts, huh?
It's not they don't believe in it, just that the officials all have their hands out ready for a little grease. By the time the money filters down to the workers who must actually repair the road, there is none left.
Okay, let's move. I want to at least reach a waypoint by tonight, and that's 30 miles away.
Wonderful.
Anya shook her head. A 30-miler wasn't the best way, she imagined, to ease back into the bicycling frame of mind, but she knew that once Gulliver had his mind fixed on something, he wasn't going to budge for anything short of a life in danger. As Anya moved alongside Gulliver, Gregor sped past them, pedaling ahead. Anya marveled at how easily he rode his bicycle.
He's a former military guy. Did I mention that?
No.
He's used to driving himself hard. One of those guys who measures himself based on how difficult something is. The bigger the obstacle, the better he feels about himself when he masters it.
I know someone just like that.
I thought you might find that a familiar sentiment.
They pedaled along for another hour. Magadan's outskirts disappeared quickly as the stark countryside reclaimed the edges of the road for itself. Anya saw the twisted, bent, and hooked branches of the spindly trees reaching in for them. She saw little animal life, and only a few birds cruised the skies.
Is it always like this, Bob?
Like what?
Devoid of life.
Winter's coming, and soon. Most of the animals have already wandered off to their various hibernation areas. Birds have flown south, and the landscape just seems to be settling down for the harsh snows.
We've got time, though, right?
Yes. Timing was crucial. I'm glad you were able to get out here. With luck, we should find something before we get snowbound.
What happened with Gregor anyway? I can barely even see him. He's so far up there.
He likes taking point on these things. Takes his job of protecting me very seriously. Says there are far too many threats out here for a man to travel alone. He insists on driving ahead to spot anything that looks a bit off.
Does he cost a lot?
Not by our standards, but he makes a decent wage. Plus, it gets him away from the Mafia. And any time he can do that, he's far happier than he is otherwise.
The road suddenly narrowed drastically. From 2 lanes, the battered road withered to barely a single lane. On Anya's right side, the edge of the road fell away as they ascended what looked to be a fairly significant hill.
Mind yourself, Anya. We're corkscrewing up a hill. It's a long way down.
Why don't we use the left side?
Anything coming at us from the other way will crush us against the side of the hill. They won't see us coming.
Makes sense.
Anya kept pedaling and kept herself hunched low, trying to reduce her wind resistance as she climbed the hill. The bike seemed built for a wide variety of terrain and handled the ascent pretty well. It didn't make the strain of the pedaling any easier for Anya, though. Ahead of her, Bob seemed in his element. He used long, steady pedaling to carve his way up the hill. Anya tried to imitate him, but knew that as her body responded to the stress of serious biking for the first time in years, she was going to have a harder time than Bob, or Gregor, for that matter. She settled her breathing and tried to relax. Anya turned in her seat and saw the large truck rumbling up the hill behind her.
Bob!
Oh, crap! Pedal faster, Anya!
Anya drove her feet into the pedals. She looked back, but rather than slow down, as another truck might be expected to do when it was climbing an incline, this truck seemed to be accelerating and heading straight for Anya. Anya looked ahead and kept jamming her feet against the pedals as hard as she could. Her lungs worked like bellows, and ahead of her, Bob was pedaling fast as well. The road began to slope at a severe angle. The increase meant Anya would have to pedal even harder, and she didn't know if she had it in her. She glanced back and saw that the truck was even closer than before. She couldn't see through the windshield. The entire panel of glass seemed to have a jagged line scored through it, not to mention the buildup of bug guts and dirt. Her legs felt like lead weights. She wanted to vomit. The driver really meant to run her over. She felt herself growing angry, furious even. Who the hell would want to kill her like this? She hadn't even been in Russia long enough to annoy that many people. Anya gave one last monumental effort, her lungs straining to their capacity. She drove her heels into the pedals and the bike shot forward. Along the side of the hill, she could see the sheer drop-off, plunging hundreds of feet to the ground far below.
Bob!
The truck nudged her. Anya lost control, shooting straight off the edge of the hill. Anya had the briefest sensation of being weightless, suspended in midair, before gravity exerted its pull on her body and jerked her back down toward the earth. She tumbled down the hill, rolled and somersaulted over jagged rocks and tree roots. Through the blur, she saw a large tree trunk roll into view ahead, then disappear as she turned. She shut her eyes.
Anya, can you hear me?
Not so loud. I believe she has a concussion.
Anya!
Anya blinked, saw the bright light of the gray sky, and closed her eyes again.
Anya, can you hear me?
Unfortunately.
It's good sign. She has sense of humor. That tells me she's not too badly broken.
Speak for yourself.
Oh my God! When you went over the side of the hill, I thought you were a goner.
So did I.
You should be dead.
That was subtle.
Forgive me, it's just that you fell so far. It is truly a marvel that you are still alive.
Check her for broken bones, will you, Gregor?
Hey.
Anya, please, humor me, will you? Gregor has some medical training and knows how to look for these things.
Anya felt Gregor put his hands behind her neck and then feel his way down the center of her back, pause briefly at her buttocks, and then continue down her legs. Then he ran his hands down her arms and finally peered into her eyes.
Having fun?
No broken bones.
Oh, that'll be one hell of a way to start the show off. A dramatic reenactment of you tumbling over the side of the cliff and then emerging unscathed.
You rest a few minutes before getting up. Have a sip of water.
Thanks. Sorry about that, guys.
You have concussion. Bob, she cannot move too much yet.
As long as she's not seriously hurt.
We will see. If she falls asleep and never wakes up again, then that is a bad sign.
You don't say.
Can we make this into a campsite?
It will suffice for our needs. Anya, you should rest now. I will find your bike and get the gear.
You okay, Anya? Seriously.
Aside from a raging headache, yeah, I guess so. But what the hell happened up there?
No idea. One minute everything was fine, and the next that monster truck was bearing down on you. I crested the hill and got into a small niche up there for safety, and Gregor was already ahead of me in the safe zone, and there was nothing I could do. I felt totally helpless.
You weren't the only one.
I'm terribly sorry to have gotten you into this mess. Christ, you were almost killed. It's all my fault.
Forget it. Our profession has its share of risks. I'm well aware of what these things entail.
Yeah, but being driven off the side of the hill by a truck isn't usually one of them, is it?
You got me there.
We couldn't even get a good look at the maniac driving the rig. I was so concerned about you when I saw you go over the side of the cliff. My God, Anya, I thought you were dead.
So did I. Guess I had some lucky bounces.
I found your bike, Anya. farther down the slope. It is a little banged up, but otherwise okay. Like its owner, I would say.
Hell of a bike. You guys rappelled down here?
I always carry a rope with me on these trips. It's one of the most important survival tools you can have.
How long was I out?
Gregor's been working on you for almost an hour.
That's some hired hand you got yourself there, Bob. Guy seems like he can do everything.
Short of stopping a truck. I'm afraid we didn't pack a tent for this journey. I figured we'd reach our destination and find board there. This side trip has certainly been unexpected.
We will need shelter. Tonight it will rain. Possibly it will also snow.
Snow? I didn't expect the winter to come down quite so fast.
One thing about Siberia, it is impossible to predict her moods. If she wishes to snow, then she will snow. She cares little about the whims of man. Since we have not brought a shelter, it will be necessary to make one. Otherwise, you will have hypothermia before morning. I will make one.
Tell me again where exactly you found this guy?
Moscow. He was looking for work and answered my ad for a hired hand. He's pretty close-lipped about his past, just what I told you before.
He seems to have a lot of skills for a mafia enforcer.
Military. He never told me what he did, but I'm guessing special operations. Spetsnaz, most likely. Those guys never talk about their past.
Lucky for us, I guess.
Well, I'd say so.
Anya looked at the sky. Dark clouds were moving in fast. It looked very much as if Siberia was getting ready to unleash a blizzard on them. By the time the first flakes were drifting down to the earth from the dark clouds overhead, Gregor had constructed a working camp with a large fire. The flames threw heat and light across the shadow-filled landscape. He'd also laid in a tremendous store of firewood to get them through the night. Anya rested under the cover of the large lean-to Gregor had built from thick saplings and pine boughs. She lay on a raised floor of more branches and boughs filled with huge amounts of pine needles. The scent reminded her of Christmas, even though it was a few months away yet.
Ah, this is actually pretty comfortable. I never thought pine needles could be quite so luxurious.
It's not the Four Seasons, but it'll do in a pinch.
I had Gregor pack some military rations. It's not the best stuff, but it'll do.
Whatever he's cooking doesn't smell like rations.
Her legs were wobbly, but she made it over to a log Gregor had situated near the fire. Anya looked around and saw two rabbits cooking on spits over the fire.
You got fresh food, Gregor?
Have you ever had Russian rations?
Told you it was worth his weight in gold.
Gregor had used a large knife to serve them up the fresh rabbit meat on sticks. Anya held hers like a kebab. She'd never liked rabbit much, but when the first bit hit her tongue, her saliva flowed, and she realized then how very hungry she was. Gregor smiled over to her.
Not so fast for you. You are still recovering from your head trauma.
Believe me when I tell you, this is really fantastic. It tastes wonderful.
Never had rabbit before.
It could use some seasonings. My mother, she used to make a stew with the rabbits. It was a very nice thing.
I didn't realize how tired I was.
I set a pretty grueling pace today. I'm sorry about that. I should have given you some more time to acclimate to the environment and the exertion. It's just that we can reach Yakutsk pretty quick, and I'm not much for waiting. It's a fault of mine, I know. I hope you can forgive me.
Relax, Bob. You're forgiven. I know what it's like to be impatient.
Anya stared into the fire. Ever since she'd discovered the sword that Rue had pieced together, Anya had been physically tested again and again. As a result, she was the fittest person she knew. But for some reason, it seemed as though her strength was deserting her thus far on the trip.
I see we are boring our companion.
Gregor produced a small flashlight from one of his pockets. He scooted over to Anya and looked at her.
What?
I need to look into your eyes.
With that?
I'm afraid so. To check for concussion, which I know you have, but I wish to see if things are improving or not.
And the flashlight will help?
Many times a concussion will result in your pupils not dilating properly. This was how you were earlier today when we find you. I'm hoping to see this is better now that you have rested.
My head still hurts.
And it probably will for some time. You took many nasty falls, which may have left you with some bumps and bruises for a long time.
That flashlight's not going to make my head feel any better.
Please, just for a moment. I will not hold the light on you any longer than is absolutely necessary.
All right.
Anya brought her head forward, and she felt Gregor's left hand grasp it. She could sense the immense strength resonating from him. His hand seemed to pulse as he touched her.
Ow!
Anya's head exploded in pain as Gregor flashed the light into one eye and then the other. Tears ran down her cheeks.
Damn.
Ah, you are getting better. I'm sorry I had to do that.
It's okay.
She will be okay tomorrow, Bob. But our pace must be less than it was today.
We should have no problem reaching Yakutsk by sometime tomorrow anyway. We might have even done it today if that maniac with the truck hadn't intervened.
Perhaps we will meet up with that person at some time in the future.
And what will you do to him?
I will engage him in discussion about the error of his ways.
The last vestiges of daylight had vanished as they talked. The deepening shadows of the forest seemed to reach toward the firelight like long, crooked fingers. Anya shivered in the twisting breeze, and the snowflakes stuck to her face before melting.
Wolves.
You have a lot of them around here?
Siberia is full of them, but they keep their distance. This time of year, they are still not that hungry. If this was February, then we might have a problem. For now, no problem.
Huh, small comfort. That howl just brought back memories of those old horror movies I used to watch.
Doesn't help that it's close to Halloween.
You think maybe these woods are haunted? That perhaps there are creatures living here who would do us harm?
Well, I think I've seen a lot of things in my life that defy explanation.
I come from this area, Anya. I am no stranger to legends, or to being scared in the woods like this.
I'm not scared.
Of course not. But here we are, in the snow and dark, with just the fire to keep the evil away. Many other people, they would find this intimidating.
Like me. I think my imagination is getting the better of me.
I guess this wouldn't be a good time to tell ghost stories then, huh?
Ghost stories are a way of life for those who live in Siberia. But perhaps Bob would prefer it if we did not talk about such things while his mind is busy replaying movies from his youth.
I can't help it. I've got visions of the werewolf running through my head. You've got to admit, it fits the situation pretty well.
Just because we're in the woods?
I was talking about that howl we heard. Hey, no one finds out about my fear when we get back to civilization. I just don't think I ever outgrew those crazy flicks I used to watch as a kid.
I used to watch them too. I just think it's great that a guy like you, who is so accomplished and relatively fearless, I mean, you bike and camp everywhere, gets freaked out by the woods at night.
Yeah, well, my therapist suggested I confront my fears as much as possible, so I make a point of camping out whenever I can.
But you don't like it.
I hate it.
I tell you the truth, Bob. I don't like it either. I have to do it in the military, and since then, at a few times when I am on the job. But I do not like being out in the dark either. I always feel like someone else is out there watching me. No matter how much I am hidden or how concealed I make myself, it always seems like someone out there knows.
You feel vulnerable.
Yes.
It's probably a pretty common feeling. I know I've felt it during my life as well.
Doesn't make it any easier to deal with.
I'd say you're dealing with it the best way you possibly can. At least you're not letting it paralyze you into inaction. I know of people so utterly paralyzed they let their fears dictate how they lead their lives. Most of them sit at home rocking back and forth afraid to do anything.
Well, I couldn't do that. After all, as much as I dislike camping at night, I love cruising everywhere on my bike.
You see? You're successful even in spite of your fear. I think that's what makes us better human beings.
I agree with Anya. She is very wise, this woman. I appreciate her thoughtfulness in this matter.
Thanks, Gregor.
And now, we drink.
What?
Gregor produced a small flask from his jacket and turned towards three cups set on the ground between him and the fire. He opened the flask top. Gregor handed a cup each to Anya and Bob, then lifted his own.
Now!
Anya glanced at Bob, and they both did the same.
Oh.
As the icy vodka hit Anya's throat, It burned a path down her esophagus and then pooled in the pit of her stomach. Her head swam briefly, but she managed to stifle the cough. Bob, who had apparently been with Gregor enough times to have gone through this before, didn't seem to have any trouble either.
Let everybody be healthy.
Now we have a trip to embark upon.
What the hell was that?
I don't know, but it's nothing nearby.
You sure about that? Should we go check it out?
We're high up on a hill. Sound carries for quite a distance in these parts. That sound could have been 20 miles away from us. If we start thumping around in the pitch black, we'll get lost, and we'll all be injured before we find anything.
It was not a sound. It was a scream.
A human scream?
Yes.
Anya wanted to say something, but there didn't seem to be anything else to say. What could they do? For his part, Gregor also looked concerned. The prospect of someone needing help seemed to stir something within him. Anya wondered if he might have an angel complex, a need to be a savior in order to feel good about himself.
We can do nothing about it. We should get to sleep.
Good idea.
Bob got up from his seat and helped Anya into the lean-to shelter. As she lay down on the pine needle bed, Anya already felt the blanket of sleep beginning to drift over her. Bob got two of the survival blankets from their gear and stretched them on top of Anya and then himself.
Aren't you sleeping?
Not just yet. I will take first watch.
First watch?
We are in the woods. They are an old woods filled with many stories and the potential for many dangers. It would be foolish of me to simply lie down to sleep. I might not ever wake up again.
Well, wake me when it's my turn to take over.
I will.
Anya watched Gregor refuel the fire. Rather than stare into the flames, he turned himself around so that his back was to the fire and to the shelter. He stared off into the night. Anya watched him for another few moments before her eyes drooped one final time and sleep began to overpower her. The thought of her concussion made her briefly wonder if she might never wake again. But she was sure that Gregor would not have permitted her to sleep if he thought she might die. Strange as he was, she couldn't quite shake the idea that he was deeply concerned about her well-being. When Anya's eyes slid open, darkness still enveloped the entire campsite. Inside the shelter, Anya felt warm and snug. The survival blankets Bob had placed over her earlier in the night had done their job. Her head didn't seem to hurt anymore, much to her relief. She knew hours must have passed, but what time was it? Why hadn't Gregor woken Bob to relieve him on guard duty? Anya frowned, working her way out from the lean-to. She winced as the cold night air hit her. There was a distinct bite to it, and her skin, which had been warm inside, seemed to stretch taut against the cold. The sky overhead showed no stars, only the dark clouds of an approaching storm. Embers glowed a deep red in the campfire pit, but it appeared to have been some time since fresh wood had been added to it. Gregor was nowhere to be seen. It didn't make any sense to Anya that he would have abandoned them. He wouldn't have gone through all the trouble of helping Anya with her concussion if he'd intended to desert them all along. Snow had covered the landscape while she slumbered. There was maybe an inch on the ground, but no more. Still, looking at the sky again, Anya sensed that there'd be more in the coming day. That meant they needed to get to Yakutsk as soon as daylight broke. But judging from the sky, it seemed the dawn was still a good way off. Anya retraced her steps to the fire and knelt down by the log where she'd last seen Gregor sitting. Anya gently touched the wood and found it cold. Her hands felt the muddy ground. She found the dull impressions left behind by his boots and began to follow them as they headed away from the fire in a straight line. 10 feet from the fire, they vanished. Gregor's footsteps were easy to find close to the fire because the ground was warm and muddy there. But farther away, the ground was cold and hard, and the footsteps didn't show nearly as well as they had a few feet back. Anya stepped carefully through the snow, knowing that even a shallow layer could prove slippery. She didn't want to add a broken leg to her list of injuries. The ground sloped down away from the camp, and Anya followed her instincts, moving to the left. She seemed to be walking parallel to the side of the mountain. To her left, The land sloped up, back the way she'd come. To her right, it leveled off for some distance and then seemed to disappear into the darkness. She was convinced that she was close to wherever Gregor had ended up. Anya pivoted, squinting into the darkness. She caught herself, and then, instead of peering directly at the noise, she turned her head and tried to look out of the corner of her eyes, using her more light-sensitive peripheral vision. Nothing. This was getting weird. She had the distinct impression that she was being watched, and she didn't like it one bit. Anya closed her eyes and visualized the sword. Just as she was about to close her hands over it, a hand slid over her mouth, and she felt herself being taken down from behind. Another hand kept her from hitting the ground hard. She felt brute force keeping her pinned, but without hurting her.
Quiet.
Anya relaxed some, trying to twist to see Gregor and ask what was going on. Instead of releasing the pressure, Gregor pointed off to the right. Anya could see that the ground fell away, forming a steep cliff that dropped down into some sort of valley. At the bottom of it, perhaps a half a mile away, she could see a dim glow.
Do not speak. It will hear us.
From half a mile away? I've never heard of a person that could pick up a whisper from that distance.
Anya strained her eyes to see what Gregor was so interested in, but any detail seemed to elude her. She could make out some kind of figure stooped over, huddling in front of something, perhaps a campfire. No, the light would have been yellow or orange. This light was a pale shade of blue-green. Gregor released Anya, who rolled to face him.
Whisper only.
Why did you sneak up on me?
You would have fallen over the edge if you'd kept going.
Anya looked again. Gregor was right. A few more steps ahead of her, there was a shallow depression that gave way to a deep gorge. A pocket of snow inside it would have caused her to slide right over the edge.
Thanks.
Your scream would have alerted the thing down there.
Thing?
Did you not see the color of it?
I don't know what I saw. It's too dark and I can't see that far.
Perhaps we will find out later when we reach Yakutsk. Rise, we should return to camp. It will be light in a few hours.
You haven't slept yet.
No.
Why not?
Because that thing back there was hunting earlier. And it was only by luck it did not stumble across us. Otherwise, we might not be having this talk.
You're kidding me, right?
You should know one thing about me. I do not joke about life and death.
Gregor turned and headed back the way they had come. With an uneasy glance over her shoulder, Anya followed. Bob was tending the fire when they returned, an anxious look plastered across his face. He jumped up when he saw Anya and Gregor come out of the darkness.
Thank God. I was worried sick when I woke up and found you both gone. I thought perhaps my snoring had driven you away, Anya.
No harm done.
I need to sleep.
You should have woken me sooner, Gregor. I'd have gladly taken your place.
We might be dead if you had.
What?
Gregor says there was something lurking in the darkness tonight. Something that was hunting.
You're kidding.
No.
You saw it too, Anya?
I'm not sure what I saw. At least not yet. It was too far to see and too dark to get any detail.
But you saw something.
Yes.
I think we should get out of here as soon as possible.
At dawn, we will ride on. I think Anya is suitably mended enough to ride with us to Yakutsk. For now, I go to sleep.
Sorry we gave you a scare there.
I thought maybe you and Greg or, you know.
What? You thought we hooked up?
Well, sure. I mean, the thought did pass through my mind.
I woke up and saw he'd vanished. I went looking for him. He snuck up behind me and took me down, trying to keep me from alerting whatever it was to our presence. That's all.
He seems concerned.
I think so, yes.
He's never steered me wrong as long as I've known him. If he says we should be concerned, I suppose we should be then.
What if it puts your exploration in jeopardy?
There was a time when I might have thought there was nothing more important than achieving the glory of a new find. Those days are long behind me. If it looks like we're in danger, we'll head for Mogadon and get the hell home.
I think I should get some more sleep, too. You okay here?
Yeah.
Just holler if you need anything, Bob.
Oh, I will. I will.
Anya had awakened just as the first tendrils of dawn crept over the horizon. Most of the camp had been broken down by Gregor and Bob while she slept. After a hurried breakfast, they set out again. As Anya pushed her bike the last few steps up the hill towards the road, she felt the strain in her legs, but it felt good to be exerting herself again. As they crested the mountain and got back onto the pockmarked road, Bob turned to Anya with a grin.
Now, how about I bring up the rear this time? That way, if any more trucks come looking for someone to smoosh, they can have me.
Wise guy.
Just thought I'd offer.
I will go ahead. Make sure the road is clear.
Gregor is very serious this morning.
He was awake before you.
Big surprise.
We talked about last night. Gregor thinks that we will find trouble in Yakutsk. He's worried about you.
I can watch after myself, thanks. Any head wounds notwithstanding.
Oh, sure. We should pick up the pace. If Gregor's concerned, he'll pedal like the devil himself was after him.
Anya pushed off and found the going much easier. For several hours, the road wound its way farther up the mountain, but then started to descend at a gradual pace. The descent took the better part of an hour, but at the end, the road evened out. They were in a heavily forested area, with tall pines and scraggly birch trunks dotting the landscape. Giant boulders bordered the road as they pedaled on. Anya saw little to indicate civilization. Bob rode up next to her.
It looks like Gregor has stopped. What's going on, Gregor?
We are close.
There.
Anya followed Bob's gaze past Gregor and saw the first indications of civilization she'd seen since they left Magadan.
Not exactly a bustling city, is it?
Yakutsk is small. Just a few hundred people live there. But they are good souls.
You've been there before?
I was attached to a military unit that operated in this area once, a long time ago.
Any friends still left in these parts?
Everyone is friendly once they get to know you. This part of my country is remote. Strangers are not a usual thing to see, so the people living here are somewhat suspicious. But having me with you is okay. They will be glad to meet you when they see me.
Gregor is like having a VIP ticket to any club back in the Big Apple.
Handy guy to have around.
We ride now.
As they pedaled on, the dirt road gave way to cracked pavement that looked as if it hadn't been resurfaced in 50 years. The woods fell behind them, and muddy, open fields dotted the countryside. Simple houses lined the roads, most with smoking chimneys. The air felt colder, and Anya could see there was a layer of fog moving in from the west. The single road grew wider as they entered the town itself. Anya could pick out what looked to be a general store and a small cafe. Aside from that, there was a loose cluster of homes and a church standing alone at the end of the road. Gregor nodded ahead towards the church.
Father Jakob runs the church. He has been here since the dinosaurs.
Think he remembers you?
Perhaps I made an indelible impression on him when I was much younger.
How so?
He heard my confession. First time for me since I was only a boy. I think I may have scared him.
Where is everyone?
Anya glanced around. There seemed to be no one around the store or cafe. The streets looked deserted. There weren't even any dogs lounging around, which Anya found very peculiar. She'd been around the world enough to know that even in the poorest places, you could always find a mutt or two mooching about.
Let us stop here.
Anya, Bob, and Gregor headed between the two nearest houses, passing rusted drain pipes leaking water to the muddy ground. The odor in the air made Anya wonder if there was any municipal sewer system. They passed the houses, and in front of them stood an open field. Anya shivered as they walked. She was sure the temperature must have dipped well below freezing. As they approached the crowd of people milling around, Anya could see they were extremely agitated. Several women clutched at the few children present. The men all wore grim expressions. Gregor led the way towards them, but his gruff demeanor vanished as he approached. Gregor pointed at the ground, and several of the villagers stepped back. Anya looked, and there in the mud she saw the tracks of what looked to be human feet.
What is it, Gregor?
What we saw last night in the woods.
That thing?
It is not a thing. It is called Chosadam.
Chosadam?
It hunts. It stalks this village.
How do they know someone wasn't out here walking around barefoot?
Look closer, Anya.
Anya knelt and studied the tracks. The footsteps showed six toes. She turned back to face Gregor. His face was grim.
You know many people that have six toes, Anya Creed?
Gregor led them back toward the town center and towards their waiting bikes.
This is insane, Gregor. A couple of six-toed footprints and people are losing their minds? It doesn't make any sense.
Then what would you call it? You said yourself you have never seen things like this before.
I'd start by looking for someone who is suffering from frostbite. Walking around in sub-zero temperatures without shoes on might even get them gangrene.
This is not a joking matter, Anya. These villagers take this very seriously. The idea that Chosedam is stalking this area has them very frightened. And rightfully so. Chosedam is not something to dismiss so easily.
I'm not dismissing it, per se.
And what about what we saw last night? You are thinking that was nothing special as well?
I don't know what I saw last night, Gregor. Have you got anything to add to this craziness, Bob?
I told you last night that Gregor's never steered me wrong. If he says something's amiss, then we'd be fools to think otherwise.
So, what is this Chosedam thing anyway?
She's a Siberian goddess.
As in a deity?
Yes.
You realize this sounds even more ludicrous now. They actually think there's a goddess stalking them?
That would be my impression, yes.
What, did she get bored with heaven or Olympus or wherever else she was hanging out?
She was kicked out of heaven, actually, by her husband of all people.
One step forward for women's rights.
Her husband, Ek.
His name was Ek? I would have left, too.
Don't trivialize it. Ek banished her for being unfaithful to him. She liked to cavort with a lot of the lesser deities, and sometimes even mortals.
Okay.
She has another name as well.
What's her other name?
Eater of Souls.
Sounds like a fun gal.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.